our weakness, he is made strong. Amen. So we know that God is with us. Thank you, Aletha. We appreciate you so much. I stand to introduce our messenger for this morning. I first want to thank all of you who have been in this summit this weekend. And I'm telling you, we have had a tremendous experience from Friday night to Saturday morning to last night, the concert. This has been a powerfully overwhelming weekend. I am so encouraged and increased this morning as I stand here after having been in all the services this weekend. And I appreciate all of you who thought it not robbery to be here to do what you're supposed to be doing and to receive from the Lord. So God bless you in your respective places this morning. Our speaker this morning is not a stranger. He is Light of the World. He is none other than Dr. Michael Lake. He is Chancellor of Biblical Life College and Seminary in Missouri, where I received my bachelor's, master's, and doctorate from, I am proud to say. Amen. And if you were at Dr. Holmes in my wedding, you will recognize his face as the person who performed the ceremony, too. So I like to call him my spiritual father in this hour of my life because he deposited so much in my life. The last 5 years of Bishop Smith's life, I was in school, and it just was a overwhelming time for us to be getting that deposit made. So it gave me the grace to stand when I needed to stand. I was filled with word and just filled with inspiration, and so it was just a great time. So I really honor and love you so much, Dr. Lake. I appreciate your presence, and he is an anointed teacher. And if you ever heard him teach, you know he's going to give you some meat to eat. And so without any further introduction, we're going to just ask him to come to the stage at this time as you stand on your feet and welcome the gift, the guest, the anointed man of God to bring forth the word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. You guys can be seated. It is such a privilege to be here. In all the places that I speak, this is my second home. And my family knows that this is the place that I come to be spoiled. And I've been taken care of so wonderfully. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to Romans chapter 4. And if you're taking notes this morning, this message is entitled, Yield to God's Process. We have a tendency to be so caught up in the end goal that we miss the process altogether so that you never end up at that goal. You know, we're like a guy with my build, and then I look at Arnold and I say, that's the goal. I want to be there right now. So I'm going to go pick up a 5-pound weight, do this 2 or 3 times, and then go back and look in the mirror and get frustrated because I don't look like Arnold. Have you ever felt like that in so many areas of your life? And what it causes us to do, we miss life. We miss the joy of all the wonderful things that God is doing in day in and day out. Because in our society, in our church, we want to be at the end goal, but we never want to submit to the process. And the process is where the joy is. The process is where the victory is. The process is where I become the man or I become the woman that can attain the goal. Now I want to pick up with verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. How many know that what God wants to do in your life, you can't do? If you could do it, you don't need grace. You didn't deserve it. You can't produce it. You can't maintain it. But God so loved you, he first meets you at where you are, And what the church has forgotten, he never leaves you there. We think he loves me as a sinner, so I'm just going to keep on sinning. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid. You were a sinner, he has you on the road to becoming a saint. You were powerless, he has you on a road to become powerful. Because it's by grace. Grace is not the excuse to sin. Grace is the power of God not to sin. So it's of grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Did you know that when you're in Christ Jesus, you're a part of all the seed? That the promise might be sure. You can't produce it. You don't deserve it. You couldn't keep it if you got it. But because it's by faith in what he has done, I am assured that I'm going to get it, I'm going to develop it, and I'm going to be able to maintain it once he does it in my life. I'm not even to my note yet. Not to that only which is of the law, but that which is also of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. Why was he able to say that? We discovered this weekend that Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Gentile when God started with him. He was a pagan. He lived in Babylon. His father was an idol maker. His business was paganism. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I'm not any of these. I'm El Shaddai. I am the one true God. He had enough sense to say, yes, sir. Okay, that's all over. Kind of like when God comes in our life. And see, because it's of grace. One day God tapped on your shoulder and said, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty One. I'm everything that you need. You see, you might not have had someone there when you needed someone there, but I'm here now. And because I'm here now, I am your all in all. You see, it doesn't matter. If mama wasn't there, daddy wasn't there, it doesn't matter if friends were there or not there. God says, now that I'm here, I stick closer to you than a brother. He goes on, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things to be not though they were. And we have a hard time wrapping our head around that. God looks at me and says, Arnold. And I go, Lord, the bubble's in the middle. Come on now, have you felt like that? You read the word, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Well, Lord, right now I feel like Pee Wee Herman. I'm doing the Urkel. What's the deal? But how many know God fills all time and space? He's with you where you are now. He knows the journey that you got to go to get to where he wants you, but he's already there with you now. You see, for God, he's already got you at the end of the process. He knows every step that you got to take to get there. He knows all the ins and outs and all the trials and the mountains and the valleys and all the bandits in the valleys that are there to try to get you off course. I have found out that God has already filled my tomorrow, and he has placed in that tomorrow everything that I'm going to need. And as long as I'm walking with him, I walk into that supply for tomorrow. I don't have to worry about the end goal. I may not be able to fully comprehend what it even looks like. But what I can comprehend is me walking with God now and enjoying the process. My family had, we went through years of a lot of spiritual warfare. You know, when you deal with people coming out of the occult, you go to a whole different level. We've had assassins come after us, and just we've been poisoned and all kinds of stuff. And The other day, it's like we kind of woke up and said, you know what? I'm getting too old for this. Because, yeah, we've been in the battlefield, but now what we have is shell shock. Anybody feel like you had shell shock? You've been fighting for so long that somebody says boo and you come up swinging. Whoa! And we decided, you know what? I'm just going to live for the now. Now I know where I'm headed. I know who I'm walking with. I have discovered that no matter what the enemy throws at me, I can get where I need to get as long as I'm walking with him. And the only true strategy the enemy ever has in my life to get me out of victory is to get me not walking with God. So I've decided to enjoy the moments. Enjoy the process. Because tomorrow I'm going to be stronger than I am today. Tomorrow I'm going to hopefully be a whole lot smarter than I am today because of the lessons that I learned today. And I have discovered God never grabbed an angel's arm and said, did you see what Mike did? What are we going to do? How many know you can't throw God off guard? The devil never shocks him. I found out the devil, you know, he has a strategy for your life too. He's playing checkers. God's playing three-dimensional chess. About the time the devil thinks he's got you in the right place and he says, king me, God says, checkmate. And so I need to distrust in the process. I need to trust in the process. You see, God sees our destiny. We read these words about Abraham. He said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he was to begin with. Look at your neighbor and said, he was to begin with. You see, after God called him and gave him a promise, famine drove him down into Egypt. And then he had this brilliant idea. They're going to kill me, baby, because you're so hot, so you're my sister. How many know that wasn't faith? I'm still trying to figure out what was up with that woman, Dr. Ruth. She should have slapped him upside. What you talking about? I'm your sister. In that area, it was not his lack of confidence in God. It was lack of his confidence of God in him. He was still in a learning curve. God gives you a learning curve. You got to learn who you are. You got to learn what he can do in you. Just like riding a bike, it takes time to learn how to ride the thing. You got to have training wheels for a while. Then you get older, you find out they can put a motor on one of them bad boys. Woo! No training wheels now. But it's the same principle, isn't it? Exact same principle. But you have to have that learning curve. Allow yourself to learn. Relax into the learning process, because what I have found is 90% of my stress is not even from the devil. My stress is internal, because I'm demanding myself to act like I'm there when I'm here. Come on now. And if I'll be satisfied where I am now, I can be under attack and still have joy. Because God's got my back, he's got my front, he's got my sides, he's got my tomorrow. The devil can't be in your tomorrow now. Even though he's a spiritual being, he's required to move through time linearly just like we do. Only Almighty God has filled all the tomorrows. Do you know Jesus is already ruling and reigning in the millennial reign? He doesn't care what the Illuminati does. He doesn't care what the Antichrist does, because he's already been through all of it. He's already at the other end, and they're burning in the lake of fire. So it's like a done deal for him. He's just walking it out. We We need to relax in the process. God sees our impossibilities. At the same time, he sees with him, it all becomes possibilities. Every bit of it. How much time I got left? Another 10 minutes. You see, I preach for an hour to an hour and a half at my church. Everybody says, help them, Jesus. God's at the beginning, God's in the middle, God's in the end. For God, it's not hope. It's fact. For God is not faith. It's fact. He knows where you're going to be when you finish the process. And I want to show you a secret of it. I want to go. Where do I want to go? Where's it at here? I know I wrote it down. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. That's why I usually type all my notes out, because sometimes you got to sit and pray for the interpretation of one scribble. You look at it and it says, Shoraba Sikoraba Hastada. And he said, what in the world was I writing down? In the English, you know, God shows up. Now, God has been visiting Abram for a while. And God's taking things to a new level. He said, and when Abraham was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am Almighty God. How many know that's a good start right there? I'm the Almighty One. There is none like me in all the universe. In fact, I can step back and I can hold the universe in my hand, and it's the size of a baby. I am the Almighty. And now the next phrase, when you read it in English, scares the holy snot out of you. Okay? I'm Almighty God. And this is the way we read it. You better straighten up and fly right, boy, because I'm here. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Darn! It's like, but you know, I messed up and I messed up and I messed up. Now God says, now that I'm here, boy, you just better straighten up and fly right now. Isn't that the way we read it in English? Any time you've ever read that, that's what you're seeing, isn't it? In the Hebrew, God actually said it all in three words. Panim, pamim, or halek, panim, tamim. Halek means to walk. Come walk with me. Come on, son, walk with me. Come on, let's walk it out. Halek is your walk with God rabbinically. Whenever they teach on how to walk with God, it's halekha, how to walk. God says, come on now, I've been visiting you for a while, and it's been helping, you know. By the time you get real stupid, I show up and fix things and you'll learn. You know, the neat thing about Abraham, he wasn't perfect, but when God told him to do something, he just did it. Didn't argue, just did it. Well, wouldn't that make your life a whole lot easier to, instead of arguing with God for 6 months about something you needed to do 5.5 months ago? Come walk with me, and before me means in my presence, in my face. And when I've heard Dr. Holmes pray the Aaronic blessing, may God's countenance shine upon you. May God look toward you, because there is a Hebraic concept that when God looks on you, that all that heaven has flows to you. Oh, you're going to get that in a minute. When he looks at you, that's why you want to keep sin out of your life, because he cannot look upon sin, and you've done been cut off of your supply. But if he can look at you, all your needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because he's able to look upon you, because the blood of the Lamb is over the doorpost. Okay? So he says, son, I want you to come and walk with me. And then he says the third word, tamim, and we translate it in the King James as perfect. Tell me what it means. Tamim means to be complete, whole, entire, sound, healthful, unimpaired, having integrity, entirely in accord with truth and fact. And what he said in the Hebrew was, I've been meeting with you periodically and we've got some improvement, but now that I'm going to walk with you, in the walking with me, in the moment by moment, I'm going to make you complete and sound and healthful, having integrity. And you're finally going to get to the place that you're going to be entirely according to truth and fact. You see, on the inside of you, when I first came to you, I deposited the seed of the word. And that word has been germinating in you, and it has been watered by my presence over and over and over again. And the lie in your life is what you used to be, and the truth of your life is what you're going to be. And as you walk with me, I'm going to manifest that entirely so that you're walking in the truth of who you are in me. Woo! He's saying, son, I now want you to walk with me. We forget that's the same call that Jesus gave to his disciples. We always get caught up in the fishers of men, and we forget the first part of the statement. Come follow me, and I will make you. Almighty God is going to make me. He's going to make me. I'm the clay right now. But I'm something that even Michelangelo could not make out of clay or out of stone when God gets done with me. And I think that I have went down this route because there is a transition, guys, happening in the spirit right now. And I want you to hear me and hear me well. Stop visiting with God. Quit just visiting him when you come to church house. Start walking with him. And he's waiting for you to do it. He's waiting for you to say, I am tired of just coming and get a little dab here and a little dab there and a little dab of glory here and just hoping that Dr. Ricky or Dr. Ruth, that they would have enough anointing in them that I get a little splashed on me. Do you know when the physical glory of God is going to manifest in this church? When you have a group of people, all of them are walking with God. You see, there's a principle that we miss in the story of Moses. How many know that when it was just Moses by himself, there was enough fire of God for a bush? Okay? But when all of Israel showed up, the mountain burned. You see, when all of us are walking with God day in and day out and we show up, the mountain burns. You guys are so used to coming and watching a bush burn that you don't know that when you guys gather together, Atlanta is supposed to burn with the power and the presence of God. But to do that, you gotta walk. You got to get up in the morning and start saying, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, it's morning. Come on now. Talk with God during the day. And when you do, you'll enter the next dimension. You'll enter the next level. And as every one of us do it, when all those burning bushes come together, the mountain burns.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mountain will burn.